You're listening to Psychic Choice Radio. World-class psychics, mediums and spiritual workers join our shows to bring two worlds together.
Hello, good evening. Good time to your day to you. And we've got three people in the call queue at the start of a two-hour show on a Saturday evening here in the UK. It's just turned 9 o'clock, and we go out live at 9 o'clock each evening, wherever possible. I'm going to hand you over now to your host for this evening, Tina, who is going to be interviewing our guest this evening that has just joined us, Jackie Jones-Hunt. So I'll hand you to the safe hands of Tina, who's going to be talking with Jackie this evening. And we will be doing some readings a little later in the show. So here's Tina.
Good evening, everybody. Hope we're all right. Okay, right. Tonight, I'm going to be interviewing Jackie Jones-Hunt, who is a author and writes spiritual books. So she's kindly coming to the studio tonight to have an interview to basically get an insight of the books and everything that she does. So it's going to be a good, maybe 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes. We'll see how it goes and see if any more questions come up, and see if Jackie wants to say a little bit more of herself, so about herself as well. So it's going to be a really good night, I feel. So I'm going to get started in a few minutes, but I've been looking forward to this ever since Ken asked me if I would do it. And I kindly said yeah. So I'm putting a Saturday night aside for my own time, because I'm supposed to be doing a live on Facebook tonight, but I'm going to rearrange it. Well, I've just said I'm having a few days break, so yeah, it's going to be a good. So Ken, do you want to unmute Jackie so we can have a chat, please?
Can't hear anything.
Jackie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. Good evening.
Good evening to you. Thank you for inviting me on the show. Fine, thank you.
You're more than welcome. So, Jackie, can you, before we start asking the questions, could you give a little bit of an insight to yourself? Just introduce yourself to the listeners and just say basically what you actually do for a living and what you've been doing since you've been moved back down to England from Scotland, please.
I was a lecturer teaching in colleges, and I also used to teach psychical research courses in colleges and universities. These are leisure classes, and I call them psychical research courses, and they were in the classroom. Hopefully in the future I will teach them online. With lockdowns and everything, it's a better way of reaching people who can't get to your classes. So I was teaching psychical research leisure classes in the day and in the evening. And that led on to me writing books. I've written a number of books now on mediumship and psychical phenomena and spiritual growth, really. And I moved to England in October, but because of the lockdown, we couldn't go into our new home for 3 months. So we then ended up moving into our home only in the end of January, and we are settled in the home now. Another string of my bow is I do astrology charts, and I read tarot over the phone to people, and I have a whole album full of letters of people saying that readings came out very accurately. So a bit shamanic, really. I do healing, which is Reiki healing, spiritual healing, write my books, which is my way of teaching, and doing predictive forecasts with the tarot, and something that I use with the tarot, it's like runes, but not quite the same, and that gives a lot of detailed information.
Okay, that's brilliant. So you enjoying being back down in England then, or is it different?
We've been up in Scotland for a number of years, but I'm back in my home area. And since I've been back, I've been having a lot of different experiences of my family who are no longer physically here.
Okay.
And quite uncanny, I felt I had a phone from my mum a couple of nights ago as I woke up. I could hear her say, Jacqueline, Jacqueline. And it was honestly, it was just the same as having a phone call with her. It was my mum's clear as day voice. And she's the only one who called me Jacqueline. Everyone else calls me Jackie. And I really think it was her trying to get through.
Okay. Who did you think it was? Did you think it was your mum trying to get through?
I do. I really do think it was my mum. I think because I've come back to our home area, I have two sisters who haven't done. I think perhaps because I've come back to our home area, you know, I'm sort of steeped in all the memories of being here. Graves just down the road, and I was hoping to put a plant there to grow at her grave, and so many memories are coming back, but it was such a strange type of experience. I was dreaming about my mum, I was dreaming I was hugging my nan, and I'm just wondering how much was a hug and how much was a dream and how much wasn't, because as I was definitely conscious, waking up, I felt I was hugging my nana, and I really felt my mum was calling my name twice, Jacqueline.
Yes. Yeah, well, I shouldn't think it was a dream, to be perfectly honest. I think it was more realistic.
Very much because
spirit does have a tendency of coming down and actually hugging you and giving you a hug. There was just somebody yesterday saying to me they had a shadow come near them, and this shadow gave them a hug as well. It felt as though this shadow had gave them a hug. So it's kind of left him a bit baffled, like. But it's just like, it's just these things that happen, really. People do get these things, and people. So you get some people that are a bit ignorant to it. Do you know what I mean? My sister's been a lot of people that's ignorant to her spirit that she's got in her house, which we're trying to actually get rid of because it's not. It's not playing ball very well. It's actually hurting people around there. So we're going to need to get a team in and get rid of it completely. I mean, I'm doing what I can for it. I'm going through this morning cleansing the house for her with sage and stuff, but it's just not working, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
So Jackie, you're married as well?
Yes, 29 years this year. We met, we had one date, 2 weeks later we had a second date, and then my husband shocked me and said, would you like to get married? And I said yes, and we got married. It was all whirlwind, and this June, 29 years. We just felt we'd known each other before. I do believe in reincarnation, and I just felt he was a long-lost partner from before.
Bless you. It does feel like that sometimes, though, doesn't it? When you just look at something, you feel as though you know somebody from a previous life, or you've seen somebody like that about somewhere, and you feel as though you've got a connection with them as soon as you see them, don't you?
Yes, how it seemed. Just two dates, and then he said, we'd like to get married, and I said, I'd love to. I wouldn't normally do that. I would never do that with a stranger.
Yeah.
When I look back, I think it just felt so right. It just felt so right.
Yeah. It did with me and my partner. When me and my partner got together, I mean, it's just like, he's younger than me, a lot younger than me, but I mean, we're still together, and we've been together 6 years as well, you see. So, but we saw each other, it was like an instant connection. So,
well, I think we can be old souls coming back many times and youthful spirits, and just because we're different in physical ages doesn't mean to say that we're different as souls, you know. You maybe because you are old souls.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, isn't it? I mean, people do come back so many times in one life. They keep coming back and coming back. It's just like, sometimes you'll come back, if you're a woman now, you'll come back as a man, and then the men will come back as women, and it's just intertwining, isn't it? It's just all going round as it comes around. It's a really good thing, really, to be honest. Then it gives men a good look at women cope.
Yes, and we all learn from each incarnation.
Mm-hmm. That's it. So, Jackie, human author on mediumistic and spiritual matters. How many books have you written, please?
I've written 3 books at the moment. Moses and Jesus the Shamans. And it was the mm-hmm. publisher who suggested we call it Shamans, but really Shamans are mediums. So the book is Moses and Jesus the Mediums. The other book is Proof Animals Have Souls. And the third book is 500 Plus Celebrities Go Vegetarian. And the last two, The Proof Animals Have Souls and 500 Plus Celebrities Go Vegetarian, are the first two in a series, The Proof Animals Have Souls series. Each book stands alone and it can be read independently and separately. But the second two can be read one after another. And if I'm writing any more books, then it will be in the Proof Animals Have Souls series.
Right, okay, that sounds great. I mean, some people don't believe that animals have souls, really. But I actually believe they have souls and they all have feelings as well. I do feel as though, like dogs especially, they can almost tell you that they're not very well as well, though, can't they? So
I think so, yes.
Yeah, it's just like I do believe that animals have souls, and I do believe that spirit animals comes around you as well, because one of my children has seen a spirit animal as well. So I do believe that. So it's a really good thing, really, that you still got your pets from a previous, like, that's passed away, and you still got them still around you. What would you think?
Yes, I believe that. But my belief in reincarnation is like transmigration of the soul, that in mm-hmm. one life you can come back as a human, and another life you can come back as an animal, because say you've been a powerful and strong-minded human, perhaps you need to learn vulnerability and other people having the power over you. Mm. So I believe that you could possibly come back as like an animal in the next incarnation. All animals have got nerve endings exactly the same as us. All of them feel the pain exactly the same as us.
Yeah, they do.
And they've
yeah.
all got emotions. They've all got intelligence. But whether it's not the question of how much intelligence they've got, it's the question, can they feel pain? That's the question for me. And I believe perhaps one I might have come back as an animal. And also, as we've evolved, we started off as fishes, then we became amphibians when we were part in the sea and part on the land. And then we became a land creature. I couldn't tell you the mm-hmm. name of it. And then moving on, we ended up as primates. The humans are mammals, animals, and primates. And we forget this. We tend to think we are humans and everything else is animal. But we are animals. We are mammals and we are primates. And all animals have got the same nerve endings. I tend to believe that in reincarnation, one life you can come back as a person, another life you can come back as an animal. And in each life, we've got the opportunity to grow spiritually by what we learn. We can either move forward with it or we can go backwards with it. Some people can be old souls that have gone backwards spiritually, and some people can be old souls that are gently moving forward.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I do believe that animals do have, they do feel pain. Because I mean, it's just like, if they've got nerve endings like us, of course they're going to feel the pain, aren't they? They're going to feel a pinch, and they're going to feel a pull, and they're going to feel a tummy ache and things like that. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, as you know, my dog's been into the vets just lately, and she was feeling a lot of pain. You were just
picture and she was squealing. See, I mean, yeah, that just proves that they've got a lot of pain inside of them. So, Jackie, can you please tell me a little about you and your books, please?
Okay. Well, since a child, I've had psychic experiences. I've known aspects of things that have happened in the future.
Yeah.
And I've had mediumistic experiences.
Okay.
They usually occurred as I woke up or as I went to sleep. And I've had a lot of predictive dreams. And
yeah.
When I was about 8 years old, I was at funeral of my father, and I was the only one there at his funeral.
I woke up
and I was crying. And then the next day, my mum and dad told me they were going to get a divorce. And looking back, in a way, symbolically, my father lied to me because he used to see us every Friday night, and that fizzled out. And then we lost touch completely. He'd gone, and I, as a child, didn't know how to contact him. And then many years later, I got a phone call when we lived in Cornwall, and I was told he was in the dying room in the northwest of England in a hospital. So I took to the car, drove all the way, it was about 6 hours from Cornwall up to the northwest of England, and went to see him, burst into tears because of the lifetime that we'd lost together. And I mm-hmm. said to him and the nurse, can I take him home with me? And she said, well, he's dying. And I asked my dad, and he said, yes, I'd like to come. Bundled him up in a blanket and took him back in the car all the way down to Cornwall. And I thought, I've got this dying man who I love and haven't seen for decades. And he was in and out of hospital near our house, which was Plymouth at the time. And he got another year and a half, and we moved up to Glasgow. And at the end, he did pass away in Glasgow. And the way circumstances reveal themselves, I was the only one at his funeral, and I look back on that dream at 8 years old. He symbolically died to me, but he actually, physically, when he did die, I was the only one at his funeral. So that predictive experience took many years to come through. So I've had a lot of predictive dreams, and I've also seen spirit animals and see the auras around animals. And I mm-hmm. always think of the aura as the soul, the immortal spirit. And physicists say that the energy cannot die, it just transmutes in form. And I think that's as we go on to the spirit level of life on a faster frequency and vibration. And that's why we often get glimpses of it rather than long-term views of it. So because of that, it started off really on my belief that animals have souls, and who, you know, we are animals. How can we say that there's a line between us and them? Because we're all animals.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, there's no difference between us and animals. I mean, animals have got the same bodily organs as we've got. They've got a brain, they've got legs. Yeah, they've got four paws, and we've got two legs and two arms. But I mean, it's still different. It's still the same. I mean, they've still all got the same things as we've got. You know what I mean? And they use them exactly the same. But obviously, with dogs and cats, they do go to the toilet in a different manner than what we do. But I mean, they still use all their bodily organs all the same. And it's just like, why can people not judge if an animal has got a soul? I mean, if they've got the same bodily organs, of course they're going to have a soul. Aren't they?
Yes. Well, I see the auras around the animals, and I see the auras around people. Not always to, you know, I can't just suddenly conjure it up. Sometimes I see it, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I see a few colours, sometimes it's less, sometimes it's more. But I see that around the animals just as much as you see it around the people. And then you read the human animal, you know, the two-legged animal or the four-legged animal or the ones with tails or wings.
Yeah.
If you see that aura, to me, you're seeing their soul or their spirit, or as a physicist would put it, you're seeing their immortal energy that cannot be destroyed. It just transmutes in form. And the way I think of it is we transmute in form into the spirit level of existence, and then you get the choice of whether you want to come back and reincarnate as a physical life again, or whether you stay in the spirit world and act as somebody's guide. In, you know, you might stay in the spirit level of life and be the guide to your son or daughter or granddaughter. And so you'd act that way, and that way you're still growing and spiritually learning by helping.
Exactly, exactly. So, Jackie, what inspired you to write your books, please?
Well, I started to see the auras around animals. I started to, I've always loved animals, and I've always had dogs. I have 5 dogs now. When little Sue, who was 16, my dog, passed away to spirit, a day or two later, I was in the park and we were walking Edward, the other dog, and we were all grieving and missing her dreadfully. And my husband walked off with Edward, and I just sat on a wall by the a lake, and I looked up at the sky and I was incredulous. In the clouds, I could see every animal that there is. I was reading one after another to myself. Oh, it's an Alsatian. Oh, it's a Doberman. Oh, it's a Corgi. I was seeing one animal after another, and it was as clear as day in the sky. And I didn't even realize at the time, I must have been in a strange state, because I didn't even realize that was a psychic or mediumistic experience. I don't even know if I mentioned it to my husband in the car on the way home, but what it taught me was, is in spirit, my little dog of 16 years, like my teenage daughter, who was everywhere with me, and Jack, who was with me before her, who passed, JAC, a girl called Jack, because she was a Jack Russell, it told me that they're in spirit. Then I started seeing her around the house, fast glimpses. I remember painting a shed in the garden, and every time I walked in for a drink of water or sunglasses, or something, it was a hot day, there she was in the corner, always in the same spot. And I got so used to it, in and out the kitchen from the garden throughout that day. Some days I don't see them, and other days you can stop seeing them all day. And
yeah,
I'm seeing spirit animals. And so I started my Proof Animals Have Souls series. Moses and Jesus the Shamans talks about Moses and Jesus and many other prophets, including Muhammad, who was given the Quran. He was told to recite, and it all poured out, a whole book poured out of his mouth, and he was an illiterate man, through the angel Gabriel. And you realize that these celestial beings or spirit communicators are really at the source of all religious beliefs. And Moses was talking to Yahweh, and they said his face shone every time he saw Yahweh, and Yahweh gave him the Ten Commandments. And Jesus, one example, is he went up the mountain called the Transfiguration on the Mount, and he talked to Elijah and Moses, who had died centuries before Jesus was born. So he was doing a type of seance, and he had Peter, James and John, 3 disciples with him, who were hopefully giving him extra energy for that experience. So Jesus was a famous phenomenon medium. So my Moses and Jesus the Shamans, or stroke mediums, is talking about all mediumistic experiences in the Bible and the mistranslations in the Bible, because the prophets themselves were psychic, giving predictions, often helping with healing, and certainly mediumistic in their experiences. And then I moved on to the Proof Animals Have Soul series, born of me seeing the aura around an animal just as much as you see the aura around a person. And me, that aura is the eternal energy that cannot be destroyed, the soul, the spirit.
Yeah, I mean, I do see some auras around. I'm not one for really picking up on auras. I pick up on other things instead. But, I mean, I do feel as though mediums have been around for a very long time. I mean, as you said, just in there, there's people in the Bible that's been the mediums as well. Do you know what I mean? So mediums have been around since the beginning of time, to be perfectly honest.
Absolutely.
I do feel as though that's why they writ the Old Testament and the New Testament in the Bible, because some people got it wrong in the first place, so they had to recite it and redo it all again. I don't know what you believe about that.
Yes, I think you get spirit communicators And it depends, because some spirit communicators are low level of spirituality and some spirit communicators are on a much higher level of spirituality. And
yeah.
then you get the psychic sensitive, the mediumistic person in this life who then picks up what they tell them. And sometimes they misunderstand it. Because when the message comes through, they may not completely understand it and maybe misinterpret it. So you've always got that aspect as well. And I think we've had this from the beginning of time, and it's ongoing now in when you get mediums who are doing direct voice trance mediumship and you've got a spirit talking through them, they're still giving us guidance. But humankind, we just tend to ignore it and do what we want anyway. And that's
yeah.
why we have them coming through and trying to often give us the same message of love everyone. To me, the highest religion you can have is love.
Yeah.
And that is love every person and love every animal. If I see a spider, I try and take it out. We saw a little toad in the garden. We took it to a pond. And animals, you know, try and just love everyone. If you're radiating out as much of that as you can, like attracts like, so you'll draw to you people of that same caliber, and also you'll draw spirits to you of that caliber. If they see that you're trying, then I think spirit try to work with you.
That's it. I mean, you've missed one kind of love out of there as well. I mean, you've got to love yourself to love others as
yes,
well at the same time.
Absolutely.
You've got to absolutely love yourself, not like think of yourself as some kind of rock star or some kind of star of some sort. You've got to actually look at yourself and love yourself for who you are, and then your love will rub off on others. This is what I believe. Also, I mean, getting back to where you were with the Bible as well, I do believe that the mediums from like the beginning of time are actually some sort of powerful angels as well. I don't know whether you believe that or not.
Yes, I think when they called, when Moses talking to Yahweh, I don't really think Yahweh was God. I don't think God talks to people quite like that. They said that Moses used to go in the Ark of the Covenant, which was a type of tent. And when he came out, his face shone with light
yeah.
around him. Yahweh was a spirit guide. And I think we all have spirit guides. And I think some of the prophets get the higher spirit guides. But then the prophets can also make mistakes. And there are mistranslations in the Bible. The Bible doesn't condemn mediumship. Jesus was a medium. Moses was a medium. It's a story about the account of the witch of Endor. And she was using entrails of animals, which is like animal, you know, cut up an animal and start
yeah,
looking at the
yeah.
blood. That's what's condemned, not mediumship. And the man-made church that was born after Jesus, in the centuries after Jesus, was starting to make dogma. And they didn't like people getting in touch with spirit and learning things for themselves. They wanted full power. They were the clergy and were organized religion, and they wanted money, and you had to give them money to get yourself a ticket to heaven. And it was them who condemned mediumship. And the book Moses and Jesus to Shamans explains all the mistranslations and gives all the facts about that, and
yeah.
not just hearsay. So when some people say, "Oh, religion, I can't talk to a medium," they're wrong, because Jesus, Moses, and Muhammad, people were mediumistic people, and there was plenty more besides them.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jackie, what is your memorable psychic mediumistic experiences, please?
Well, I had an experience in my sleep state, and they're not quite dreams, because I was getting on a train. It seemed to be an old steam train, and it was dusk. And I was waving goodbye to my husband. As I did, this voice came up and said, "As long as you understand, it's a one-way journey, it's what every soul has to make." And I thought, oh my goodness. And my first step going onto the train, I suddenly pulled my foot back off. The train went away without me. And I woke up in tears. And I said, nerves, and the operation I'm going to have in the next day or two, it's going to go badly wrong. Well, my husband is a doctor, retired recently, but he said to me, Jackie, I'm sure it's not going to go wrong. It's a sausage factory, it's all operation, it's tea and biscuits, and then you come home same day, it's not going to go wrong. Well, when we went for the operation, I took my little vanity box, and it had my toothbrush and nightie in it, because I knew I was not going to be coming home same day. And the night before it, I felt I was going to the guillotine. I was petrified. In the morning, I said, pull yourself together. And I said, look, please give me a full anaesthetic, because I don't want my emotions and my fears. I didn't tell them because of my dream. I said, I don't want that to affect anything. So they did. And when I came round after the operation, and they touched my face to wake me up, I was in incredible pain. Absolutely, it was horrendous in the abdomen. You know, in the abdomen, your gynecological area, it was agony. I felt like I'd been to a backstreet abortionist, and the anaesthetist came over and pumped me full of more painkillers. And then they wheeled me on the stretcher type thing to where my husband was waiting for me, and my eyes went back and all vital signs ceased. And my husband, being a doctor, thank God he was there, because he nearly wasn't coming. And I said, you have to come with me. I'm so afraid of this. I think it's going to go wrong. And he said he stood there, and I literally quickly got nurses who were giving out tea and biscuits to the other people. He said, quickly, get a drip, get this, get that, get the head down, get the legs up on the stretcher, because she's pumping out blood. I was hemorrhaging inside. And because they had given me so many painkillers, it's like I had become no more aware of it. And there was a big gusher going on my right side, you know, in the abdomen, in that gynecological area. And I looked like I was 9 months pregnant. I didn't know that until I'd come back to life. And they had to put pillows around me. They had a big inch tape around me. And if they moved me slightly to the right, slightly to the left, I would just pass out. I lost count of how many times I passed out. And I said to my husband, when I could barely speak later, I said, it feels like a bull has kicked me from the gynecological area right up to my neck. And he said, it's because of the pressure of the blood. It's gushed out of your body, it's all in the wrong place, which then gave me septicemia, which was another killer. And that night, I felt the fur, I felt the warmth, and I felt my dog, who'd passed away a month before, Jack, laying across my right calf. The next day, the doctor said to me, you've got a deep vein thrombosis on your right calf. It's all because the blood's in the wrong place. You've got septicemia. I was having kidney problems because all the blood was in the wrong place. And in the night, that second night, I couldn't breathe at all. And I heard this very calm male spirit voice say to me, if you try to sit up, it's blood on your lung. No, I didn't say look, it's fluid on your lung, which is much calmer thing to say. There's fluid going on your lungs. Try and sit up and it will clear. Try to sit up. It must have cleared. Because I moved, I passed out. But at least I was breathing. And I had so many experiences. And there was one of my dog across my calf. And the next day, the doctor had said, you've got a deep vein thrombosis on that calf. And I think she was being given me things there. So I had so many experiences. And when I went to the spiritual church some months later, the medium said to me, this was down in Devon, she said, go out in peace and not in pieces. She said, you've been in terrible pain and you've had terrible things happening. And spirit want you to know none of it was imagination. And I said, thank you for that. I do know that. And she said, well, he just wanted to confirm. You've had so many experiences through your ill health. And it showed me I had got the choice of life or death. I chose not to get on the train the night or two before that operation. So I chose to live. But it took me a year of health issues, really dangerous health issues, to get right again. And but in that time, I was between life and death so many times, and we had so many mad rushes to the hospital in a bad state. I was between the two worlds, honestly, and it really looked back on it, and it gave me fantastic experiences of animals in spirit and people in spirit. And that's why I just wanted to pass that element on in my books, which are all on my website. My website is Jackie, Jack I-E. Jones, J-O-N-E-S, Hunt, H-U-N-T, .com, JackieJonesHunt.com. And on the homepage, there's a Zoom talk all about proof animals have souls, the pictures of animals with their auras. And there's also an animal gallery on my website showing animals rescuing people, showing animals with intelligence, animals with emotions. And it shows they're just like us. If we want to go to Mars and meet Martians, we should first of all get to know our animals here. Because if we can't make friends and look after all the animals here, I can't be making friends with any extraterrestrials.
That's it, that's it. I mean, just stopping on this subject a minute, do you think the trauma that you went through was the enhancement of your mediumship?
I think so. I think it taught me a great deal. It, you know, I think through suffering there is a great deal. The shamans in the ancient times themselves often live freezing conditions or very hot conditions or without food or without water. They would do things like that to give self suffering, a bit like the tower card in the tarot. It would break them down to like skeletal proportions emotionally or physically, and from that they would rebuild back up. Like the tower card, things are taken from your life, but you rebuild back up and you're stronger for it. I think all that trauma, yes, that trauma, and in it we lost twins that we would have had. It was all really, really, but I think I learned a great deal from those experiences.
Because people normally say that trauma sets like mediumship off and psychic abilities, because it brings because when you go through trauma, it gives you more of an understanding more of what life is about and what life
I think
is
so.
As well.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
So, Jackie, can you tell us what's coming next? Is it more books or online courses, please?
Well, I've got a lot of draft chapters. Everything went on hold because for the past 3.5 years we've been looking after my husband's mum, who was 94 when she passed last year. She was 6.5 stone when she came up to us, and we got her up to nearly 9 stone, and we gave her an extra 3.5 years of good quality life. It must have been her time to go, and she went in her sleep in bed, and it was not long afterwards we got a buyer and we moved house. So those things went on hold, but again, it's all learning experiences. So I've got lots of draft chapters I need to take into new books, and my Zoom talk is on my homepage on my website. I've got an animal gallery on my website, which is very interesting videos of animals doing strange things and very fascinating things. So I plan to hopefully do some more Zoom talks, which would be online courses. The courses that I taught before in the colleges were very popular. We would be there when everybody else had long gone home, and the janitor would usually come in and he'd join in the discussions. So there are popular courses, so I'm hoping to do them as online courses. Also to offer tarot readings by Skype or WhatsApp or Messenger, tarot readings, because I've got the time now. I don't have the commitment of having to care for a 94-year-old 24/7. So back to writing my books, back to doing my tarot, and hopefully to put my courses online. So that I can meet people from around the world on doing these courses rather than just people in my local area.
That sounds interesting.
Yes. So it's a whole new chapter to open up. Now we're in our new house and just about settled in, just about unpacked, and feedback on the ground and starting a next new chapter.
Good. It sounds really interesting. I mean, it's just like you're wanting to do so much. You sound as though you really want to experience as much as possible. Does that sound about really what you want to do?
Yes, yes. So I've got to be the hermit again, writing books, but then enjoy meeting people over Skype and Messenger, doing tarot readings and courses. So it's like wearing two hats, because I found writing books was very much like the hermit, where you had to put your head down and get on with it.
Yes.
The other side is me. I love meeting people and talking to people. I feel I'm a communicator, and I like to pass on what I've learned. I feel it's my duty to. When I lost my first dog, Jack, I was thinking of getting a second dog, and I had this feeling, oh, it's a betrayal of my love and memory of her. And then I realized, no, it's not. It's my duty. If I can give another dog a loving, happy, healthy, safe home, then it's my duty to. And so that we took on the next dog. Well, we've five now. So they're all wondrous little guys. So really, with the five dogs and my husband and I, we're a big family of seven. And the five dogs all sleep in the bedroom. They've got a big cage each with a mattress, pillow, blanket, and chewing stick, and right by the bed. And it gives them time out from each other, gives them time out from us. They can all see each other and us. And everybody's free to jump into bed at night. And they all go in the same cage. And that's their little space in the house. That's their own personal space. And I don't let the others go in anyone else's cage. That's their own personal space. So we're a big family of seven.
Oh, bless you.
So much for the years. And I do literally see auras around them. And their auras are no different to ours.
Bless you. Right. Jackie, where would people be able to obtain your books, please?
Well, if they go to my website, which is Jackie Jones Hunt, H-U-N-T, so it's JackieJonesHunt.com. If they go to my website, on the home page, they will see you can click on each book, and it will take you to Waterstones, Barnes & Noble, and a whole host of other online bookshops, including Amazon. And you can buy the book any of the books as a book, or you can buy it as an e-book. And for some reason, people have emailed me and said, Amazon is saying my book's out of print. And I emailed Amazon and said, it's not. It's in 24 hours. It's a print-on-demand book that reaches the buyer in 24 hours. So it's our mistake, but every now and then that crops up, which is a nuisance. So I tell people, don't worry if Amazon haven't got it, but it's there advertised on Amazon. And I think at the moment there's no problem with Amazon, but occasionally that seems to pop up. But Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, Amazon, I can't remember all the others, on my website, you can click any one of those and buy it as an e-book or buy it as a book that's sent to your door. So if one bookshop doesn't have it one day, then the others will. But it's Lightning Source is the distributor, and they make sure it goes out to countless online bookshops. So it would just be a matter of going to my website. We go to Amazon and look up Moses and Jesus the Shamans, or look up Proof Animals Have Souls, or plus, it's a plus sign, Celebrities Go Vegetarian. So it's easier to just go to my website. You can click on the books, and you can click on any of the, there's about 20 online bookstores on my website. You click any one of those and choose whether you want to buy the book or e-book. And on many of them, even if you haven't bought the book, read it in the library, you can still write a review. With Amazon, you have to buy it in order to write a review. But I've noticed with a lot of the others, you don't need to buy it to write a review. You know, you might have read your friend's book, and you still want to write a review. So I'm glad of people writing reviews and writing a comment. You know, if they say book or hate the book, I don't care, but it's nice to have comments.
Oh, yeah, it's nice to have some sort of feedback of how people got on with your books. I mean, it's just the same, like, on your, maybe just like on websites and everything else, like Facebook pages as well. It's just nice to have a little bit of review and see what people actually think about what you're writing. So it's just like, it makes you feel good about yourself as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it's nice. And if somebody didn't understand something, then I can make sure in the next book I totally clarify. But when I do write, I try to put it in the clearest possible way so that everyone can understand what I'm saying. I like to do all lots of highfalutin words. It's just talk to people. So in the way that we all want to talk, in a way that we can all understand very clearly. Because sometimes people get mixed up. What's psychic? What's mediumship? What's a near-death experience? What's an out-of-body experience? What's a shaman? You know, and I try to explain all of these things in my books.
Okay. Jackie, when will the new books be starting to be published? Would you think sometime this year or maybe next?
Well, I've got the three out at the moment. I was thinking of making three audio books, or whether I do that or move on to the book number four or not, I'm not quite sure. So probably it would be next year for the next book. And whether I spend the rest of this year turning these three books into audio books or spend the rest of this year doing the courses and tarot and getting on with new books, I'm not sure. I'll just see how things all sort of... I'm not the type of person who's a chess player. I just sort of go with the flow and see how life takes me.
Yeah, that's it. You have to really nowadays because you can't do too much at once, especially with all this lockdown and everything that's going on. You've got to take one day at a time, haven't you? It's like with writing your books, you've got to take you one day at a time as well. So, right, Jackie, I would like to thank you for... calling in and having this chat tonight. It's been absolutely wonderful. I think everybody has enjoyed it as well. I think Ken may have enjoyed it as well because he let me take over tonight. So I'm hoping Ken's enjoyed how it's gone. And I really, really, really do want to thank you for calling in and letting me interview you about these books that you've got out.
Thank you, Ken, and thank you, Tina, for giving me the
You're
opportunity
welcome.
To talk to people, because when I've been looking after my mother-in-law for the past 3.5 years, 24/7, never got one night of sleep, I really just didn't get chance to do the social media marketing that the books needed, so people don't know the books exist. So now is my chance to start letting people know my books exist, and thank you very much for giving me that opportunity.
Thank you very much, Jackie. Thank you. Ken, it's back to you.
Okay, so I thoroughly enjoyed that, Jackie. And okay, I'm gonna have to shut your microphones down. Because three microphones up at the same time is we were getting feedback there, so we can't have three microphones. We can have two microphones open, but we can't have three. It's the main microphone cuts across the other two, and we're going to solve that problem one of these days. Right, what we're hoping. And it's not going to happen because Jackie has left. I was hoping to ask Jackie to maybe take some readings, but she has left us. Oh, okay. Right. So a big, big thank you then to our guest this evening, Jackie Jones Hunt, for joining us. And it would have been nice if Jackie had stayed to do some readings with us, but she seems to have broke connection there, so okay. Right, maybe we'll do another one of these, and we'll ask Jackie to take some readings up with us the next time, but I'm going to see if we can muster the next hour, because we've only got three people left in the call queue. I think people might have been expecting readings there this evening, but if you can see the write-up, that is upon every show that we do here on Psychic Choice Radio, you would have noticed that tonight was going to be different. So it is as much your duty to read the write-up as it is for me to tell you. And if you can't take notice of what's been told to you on previous shows, we're down to one caller, would you believe? Okay, we're down to one caller. Everybody has called up because they are tired of listening to Ken telling what is and what isn't. We called in expecting our readings this evening. We never got them, and we had to listen to something that Ken never told us about. And I am, trust me, I know that I did, and we will be doing more shows like this if you want them. Because what we need now is your feedback. We need your feedback on shows like this, so that we can do more of them if you want them. If you don't, as the core queue has shown, then it is your duty to let me know. And, you know, I think Tina's done a wonderful job there this evening. We don't want to dwell too much on why people have suddenly called off, but it is a little bit upsetting to me to see that happening. There's one person left in the queue. We could do a whole show around one person. We're here for another hour. We're going to take a piece of music. We're going to take a break, which will last for about 5-10 minutes, because Tina has not had a break yet. You probably noticed that Tina's been talking there with Jackie for the last 3/4 of an hour there, and we haven't had a break at all. So we'll do that, and then we may ask Tina if she is prepared to maybe take some readings. One caller there at the moment. Maybe more will join us. If they don't, then we will be signing out. Okay.
I've been holding on to pieces, swimming in the deep end, trying to find my way back to you, 'cause I'm needing a little bit of love. Lately I've been counting stars, and I'm sorry that I broke my heart. It's something that I didn't want for you, but I'm stepping on broken glass, and I know this is my final choice. All I'm trying to do is find my path to you. I've got voices in my head, and there's a definite silence. I've got voices in my head, and I can lie. I've been holding on to pieces, swimming in the deep end, trying to find my way back to you, 'cause I needed a little bit of love, a little bit of love. I need a little love, just like the air I'm breathing. Trying to find my way back to you, 'cause
Well, I've got to thank those that did stay for three parts of an hour with myself, Tina and Jackie here this evening. And there is one caller left in the call queue. Everybody has called off, showing some sort of purposeful intent towards me there. I'm not really wanting these sort of shows. Now, we've done these sort of shows in the past, and we've had the same response. If people can't be honest enough with me to write a little comment there that was mentioned during the show, comments mean a lot. And it's your comments that make what we have here. Yeah? Without you, the callers and listeners, we don't have a show at all. So you stayed. And then when Jackie left, you all left with her. And that shows me something. And it shouldn't. I should not be feeling the way I am. It's a two-hour show. Every night, wherever possible, that we bring to you, and tonight is no different. It clearly says that we're on for 2 hours on the page, and that everybody has left us apart from one person, and I don't think that's on. I shouldn't have to really speak like this. I don't want to spoil what had taken place in the show this evening, because I've enjoyed it, even if you haven't. And, you know, and it may be said Ken spoiled it by talking the way that I am, but really, I'm looking at my call queue, and that is the important part of any show, is that we need you, the callers and listeners, to respond to us in ways that tell us what you want, what you need from your shows, and not what I want, and not what Tina wants, or anybody else that helps here, but what you want, because you are the callers and the listeners, and you are the ones that make up the show. Yeah, we can't have a show without callers and listeners. But equally, we can't have a show without readers. So if you want us to leave you all together, where you will have to go and seek other shows that take nothing but readings for a whole 2 hours, I defy you to find one. Because if you do find one, you will not get 10 minutes per person, and you will find shows like this one that do a hell of a lot more talking than we do. Okay. Tina is still here with us. There is one person in the studio. We're going to take that one reading for Laura. And we're going to bring Tina back online now. Tina's with me, as she said she would do if needs be. But Tina is still here. But we're not staying long at all unless we get you, the callers and listeners out there. We know you're there, and the reason you've called off, we need to know this reason. It is important to us. If we don't get your reason, we will not be doing next month.
Good evening.
Okay, Tina. Right, Tina, we've got one lovely lady here with us. We've got Laura. Are you happy to take a reading, yeah?
Yeah, I'll do
a reading.
I don't mind.
Okay, then. We'll take a reading for Laura.
Hi, Tina.
Good evening, Laura.
Hi.
How are we doing?
I'm good. I did read that was an interview, and it was very interesting. I thought you did a really good job. I liked your questions. And it was very informative. And Ken, I don't want him to take this personally, because a lot of other shows, when they say that it's interviews and no readings are going to be done, they too do not get very many callers. So it's not anything personal against him, but a lot of people, if they know there's not going to be any readings, they don't call in to the shows. So it's not just his show tonight. It's other psychic shows that do the same thing. We don't get many callers. Just putting it out there so Ken doesn't feel, you know, disenfranchised, I guess.
Yeah. So how can I help, psych?
So, Tina, I just want to know if you're picking up anything about any big changes coming my way.
Okay. Laura, I do feel as though there's a phone call coming, or there has been a phone call. Would that make sense?
Gosh. I mean, I've been putting out resumes, and I have a couple calls for contracts that I've been submitted for, but nothing, there hasn't really been anything like permanent-wise.
Right, okay. Because I do feel as though you're going to get a phone call sometimes, maybe next week, okay, either that or the week after, because I do feel as though there's somebody out there that you've submitted your resume to that is interested in what you have got and how you work things, okay? Because I do feel as though when you wrote your resume, you told them what's what and how's this and then what's that. Would that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a well-written resume. It's just a matter of somebody deciding they want to bring me in for an interview and hire me.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a contract, though, Tina, or do you think it's a permanent full-time hire with benefits?
It could be either one, darling. It could be either one, because I feel as though you've applied for a contract one as well as a permanent position. So it could be either one, sweetheart. I'm picking up either contract or permanent position, okay? I do feel as though you're going to succeed with one of them, okay? Because I know at the minute you're not enjoying the contract that you're doing. So I am getting that. Laura, also, would you understand that you're feeling more and more positive about yourself as the days go along? Sorry about that.
I guess I am. I think... I guess I would say that. I'm not overjoyous.
Yeah.
But I feel a little better, you know, as the days go by, yeah.
Good. Because that's what the angels want in Twitter. They want you to be more and more positive about yourself because of, they don't want you going back to where you were, to be perfectly honest, darling, because they want you to keep positive because of this... there are things that you're doing right now. There's something you're doing right now that they're proud of you for, okay? I don't understand what this something is, okay? Maybe it's just like picking yourself up or helping yourself, okay? It's just like I feel as though someone is watching over you. I do feel as though someone's watching over you, maybe a lady figure, okay? I feel like it's a grandmother figure. Would you understand that, please?
Yeah, I have both grandparents are in spirit.
Right, okay. Because I do feel as though it's a lady figure and I do feel as though it's a grandmother figure. Okay. She's saying to me, this is where Laura should be. Okay. Because she's been watching over you and she's not been liking the Laura that was. Okay. She's saying that changes are coming your way. All right, darling, there is some changes coming your way. They're still showing me these keys, Laura, okay? Still showing me these keys. So I do feel as though you are going to be moving as soon and when you can get a position and when you can start being so stabilized with finances. Okay. But I do feel as though it's still north, Laura. I do feel as though it's still north, sweetheart. Okay. Because they're giving me north. All right. They're giving me north. So would you understand north at all?
I have applied for some jobs in the north. I don't know. Is it Northern Jersey though? Northern Jersey? Do you think? I think Tanya?
I'm not sure, but I'm being given north, sweetheart. I'm being given north. Okay? I am being given north, darling. All right. They're just giving me north. Okay. They are giving me north. Okay. I do feel as though you are going to get something north. All right, darling. But I feel as though you've applied for something north as well. All right. But I do feel as though there is changes coming your way. I do feel, honestly feel as though changes are coming your way. I do honestly feel that someone is egging you on. Okay, I do feel so as someone is in spirit is actually giving you guidance and giving you inspiration. Okay, Laura, would you understand that you've been inspired to do something just like that? It's not with writing resumes, but it's something else that you've been doing that you felt inspired to do. Would that make sense to the whole point?
In my work, I'm going to be doing something creative. Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Because if this is what she's saying, I feel as though she's giving you inspiration to do this creative work. I don't know what created it, what you're creating, but I do feel as though she's giving you this creation. Okay. I honestly do feel as though, as well, that she is inspiring you to keep on going with where you are now, okay? I feel as though she's going to be putting some more positive vibes into you as well about some about these, like, these positions that you are applying for. I also understand that she's saying to me that you're sleeping a lot better to what you was. Would that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, because she's just said she's sleeping a lot better to what she was, because she feels as though you're getting more hours sleep. At one time you was only getting maybe 4 or 5 hours a night. Would that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I only slept 4 hours last night, but I got up several times in the middle of the night, but I went back to sleep for another hour, so I got about a 5 hour rest.
Yeah, yeah. She's saying you got out of bed one time, and she heard you say ouch. She feels as though you stubbed your toe on something. Would that make sense at all, please?
I have aches and pains when I get up in the morning.
Right, okay, so, okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay. She's saying you want to take care of them aches and pains, she's saying.
Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah. She's saying to me this one pain that you keep getting constantly, Laura, and you won't go see your GP about it.
No, I don't really. I mean, there's nothing really he can do about it. It's been going on for years, so.
Yeah.
Just the way it is.
Yeah, because she feels as though she says it's when you're walking. Would you understand that?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
She just said, tell her it's when she's walking. Okay. She's giving me a pain in either the knee or the knee or the shin area. Would that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
Okay, because this is what she's saying. She wants you to take care of that. She's saying something about maybe putting a support on it or something. She feels as though you won't, because you haven't got no support, son, she's saying. She says she wants me to tell you to put a support on it. Would that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Plus lose weight. That would help. Losing weight would help.
Yeah, well, that as well. But she wants you to put a support on it. Because I feel as though, Laurie, it's your right leg that's playing up. Would you understand that?
Yeah, that's true, Tina. That's good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's saying to me about putting a support on your knee.
Yeah.
Would that make sense?
It does. It definitely does.
Right, okay. Because this is what she wants. She says, as well as carrying on doing what you have to do, Laura, she also wants you to start taking better care of yourself as well. She's saying that you're not eating very much during the day. Would that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense, yeah.
Yeah, she's saying that you're not taking care of yourself as much as you should do.
Yeah, I have to get back to that. Me and my friend are working on it. We're trying to motivate each other.
Yeah. And she said you need to go kick up the backside.
Yeah.
I feel as though with this lady, Laurie, you was quite close to her.
Yes. Growing up when I was little, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. She said she thought the world of you. She absolutely thought the world of you. Okay. And she wants to see you succeed, sweetheart. She does want to see you succeed. Okay. She does.
I like that. Yeah.
She definitely wants to see you succeed, sweetheart. She wants you to start and live a better lifestyle for yourself, she's saying as well. Would that make sense at all?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's not
just necessarily like taking it back yourself. It's getting a better contract with that. Okay.
Yeah, I would like to get a better job. You know, one that I really enjoy, and get a house and just get situated. You know, that's really what I want.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being very patient, and thank you for calling in, Laura. And I'll probably
talk
to you on Monday.
Yep, sounds good. Thank you.
All right,
thanks, Laura.
Thanks, Laura.
I did take note of what you said there, Laura. Okay. I think that's what it is, because when people realise that there is no reading, and then we didn't expect Jackie to leave us, you see, because. We was kind of hoping Jackie was going to do some reading, and then when Tina come to the end of Jackie just knocked her call off, and that's it, she was gone, bless her. But I hope there that some of you have enjoyed the show this evening anyway, and a big thanks to Tina for doing that for us. We will do more shows like this, ladies and gents, if you desire them, if you want them, because it is your shows, not ours. Without you, the callers and the listeners, we've got no shows. So, you know, let us know what you want. So, once again, a big thank you to Tina for joining us this evening. Thank you to Jackie, of course, who was our guest. And we're going to play out then, because we've got no more callers. Oh, bless. But it's been wonderful being here with you. And it's been an experience doing something different. Will we do it again? That's entirely up to you, ladies and gents. So do let us know your opinions and your comments. And if you want the shows like this, and we will do another one. If you don't, then it'll be back to just reading. Okay. Right. I don't know. No. Okay, then. Thanks to all that's joined us there this evening. That brings us to the end of broadcast for this evening, then. We don't have a reader now. And we don't have a call queue. But somebody has just called back in. Holly, bless you. And we hope that you managed to hear some of the show, if not all of it. There is nobody here to take your call now. So until Monday, we have our next show. Actually, we have a show tomorrow evening. We do have a show tomorrow evening with Kelly Jo there. So do tune in for that there if you can. Thank you.